You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Ben Beacon, and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. And media day and the first day of training camp are in the books. We are less than a week away from the first preseason game, the first actual game action against another squad. The Timberwolves will take on the Phoenix Suns next Tuesday, October 8th, in the desert. So we have that to look forward to. The first day of training camp was this Tuesday, the first, on the heels of media day, which was on Monday. So today we're going to hit on some of the high points from Monday's media day. Just want to make sure we don't gloss over those. There were some interesting tidbits from the day, as there always are. And of course, a lot of things that don't matter in the long run, but we'll talk about all of it. We'll look at some of the insightful quotes and comments from Wolves brass and players alike. So Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders, both, they took the podium together, so we'll talk a little bit through what their comments were on Monday at media day, as well as some of the players. All the players took the podium, but there were some that had more noteworthy things to say than others. So we'll touch on some of those. And then we'll also hit on the first day of training camp. Of course, I was not there, but we'll be relying on write-ups from the fantastic Twin Cities media, Kyle Ratke of Timberwolves.com, the digital content manager for the Wolves, does a great job. So there's still some good stuff to discuss there as we're now officially underway. The Timberwolves are spending 2 days in Mankato this week, which, if you're not aware, is the hometown of Glenn Taylor. The Timberwolves owner, he went to school at Minnesota State Mankato, or as it used to be known, Mankato State. And the basketball arena there is named the Taylor Center, as he funded the building. So the Timberwolves used to do this, so they got away from it the last couple of years under Tom Thibodeau. But they're back to doing some of their training camp, at least in Mankato. It sounds like they're spending Tuesday and Wednesday there. Tuesday night was the infamous lasagna dinner that they have, or at least used to have every year, at the Taylor residence in Mankato. And then the team will head back to the Twin Cities later in the week, I believe, for practice on Thursday and Friday, and then begin preparing for the Phoenix Suns next Tuesday. And that's a little bit of a preseason road trip. Next Thursday, October 10th, the Timberwolves will be in San Francisco to take on the Golden State Warriors in what will be the second preseason game, the second game ever at the new arena. I think it's the Chase Center. They're in the Bay Area, so the Timberwolves will have a little bit of a preseason road trip. And you may recall from our podcast a few weeks ago, the season or the preseason includes 4 true road games for the Wolves and only 1 home game, which is a little bit unusual, and not any of those crazy those neutral site games in smaller cities around the Midwest, which they typically have played in the past. All right, so let's talk a little bit about media day. And hit some of the high points there. It was again on Monday, and all of the press conferences, all of the individual media sessions were streamed live on Timberwolves.com. The Wolves do a great job with that. Rosas and Saunders didn't really say anything that we hadn't already heard. Rosas talked a lot about the diversity of the basketball operations department, both in background as well as perspective. And if you go through the list of new hires, and we're not going to go through them all now, we have on past podcasts, but the Timberwolves have hired guys with backgrounds with other teams, people with backgrounds that have worked with Rosas in Houston previously. They've hired people who have more of the scouting background, as well as some that have more of the analytical background. I mean, they hired the guy who invented the ESPN trade machine. Clearly they're thinking a little bit outside the box with some of those hires. So they talked a little bit about that and about how the Timberwolves clearly have one of the best analytics departments in the NBA at this point. That was actually, I think, a Ryan Saunders comment. Also one of the more extensive analytics departments, which is night and day from where it was, at the end of the Rick Adelman, beginning of the next Flip Saunders era. And Tom Thibodeau added some analytics guys, but there was always a question as to whether or not he truly listened or how much say they really had. And then now that department is really strong. And so Saunders called that out, which was great to hear. Rosas also talked about trying to keep guys out of the gym to not get burned out before training camp and then the season starts, which I guess is a good problem to have. Although there's enough guys like veterans like Jeff Teague and Robert Covington coming off of injuries that hopefully that's not too big of an issue to make sure that guys are keeping themselves in good shape and not overworking here before the season. So those were the comments, I guess, from Moses and Saunders that stood out the most. Carl Anthony Towns did his thing. You know, he's obviously very smooth with the media. He's always been an easy to predict quote. He doesn't get too risky with the media for the most part. But he talked about Ryan Saunders not being afraid to hold players accountable. He had a couple of quotes related to that. Let's see if I can pull one up here. He's talked about, and this is a common thread, a lot of the players talked about how the vibe around the building is much different than it had been in the past. Related to guys coming in early and the Bahamas trip that we've talked about at length, just things that haven't happened in the past around the organization. And Towns definitely called that out. One of the quotes that Towns had in regards to Ryan Saunders was about accountability, as I mentioned a moment ago. And basically saying, you know, just because he's young doesn't mean that he isn't going to hold guys accountable. And I think that's an interesting take on it. Certainly a positive thing that he's calling that out about Saunders. The exact quote is, "Don't get it twisted." This is from Towns. Quote, "Don't get it twisted just because he's wearing tailored suits," he being Ryan Saunders, "and he looks good on the sideline at 32 years old or 33, whatever he is, just getting out of college. We got to make sure that we can do everything we can. He also has a side where he's a dog. He's a dog, especially when it comes to getting things right, doing what he commands of and asks of us." And that's from Towns' quote, and then from the Athletic article that John Krasinski wrote regarding Media Day. Towns understands that Towns is a smart guy. He knows that there is some question about whether or not Saunders got this job because he's friends with the players, he's closer to their age, etc. And it seems like those guys understand that, and they want to make it clear that, hey, we know that Ryan Saunders knows what he's doing, and we know that he's got a job to do, and he is going to hold us accountable. And so I thought that was a really good quote from Towns to kind of throw that out there. We're going to talk through a few of the other player quotes here in a moment. But first, Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. All right, we're going to continue talking through some of the more prominent quotes from Timberwolves Media Day. We already talked about Rosas and Saunders and Carl Anthony Towns. Andrew Wiggins underscored the comments related to seeing teammates for the first time. No longer is that at training camp. Josh Okogie also mentioned that in his time with the media, that he really first met guys last year at training camp. And this year he at least knows guys a little bit from the trip to the Bahamas and working out at Mayo Clinic Square here over the past few weeks. Wiggins also said that he will be limiting his long two-point attempts, which I think all fans are rejoicing together. We'll see. I mean, I feel like that sort of sentiment has been out there before, but we'll see if that genuinely holds true this year. Jordan Bell mentioned that his agent had told him before he signed in Minnesota that the culture in Minnesota was changing around the team. He admitted he was skeptical, but then has now that he's a part of it, has seen that that's definitely true. He also had the best quote that I saw on Twitter related or from Media Day that came out of Media Day with the Timberwolves. This was tweeted out by John Meyer with Canis Hoopus. He said, "Jordan Bell on his decision to come to Minnesota, quote, 'I have a husky and it snows.'" Great reasons. I mean, there aren't very many other places where a husky is going to make a ton of sense as for an NBA player. I mean, Corey Brewer had goats when he played. Hopefully still does have goats. And that's not exactly the same thing, but that's the other notable Timberwolves player pet that I can think of. Oh, I guess Ricky Rubio's cat. We can't forget about his cat, or multiple cats, I guess. But we know that about Jordan Bell now, that he has a Husky and he's excited about the Husky being able to be part of his more, I guess, preferred climate. Robert Covington said that he's feeling good and easing into training, and still trying to get back into game shape. My guess is it's going to take a little while for him to do that. It does sound like he's, a lot of the conversation surrounding Rocco is him playing the four this year still. So we'll have to see when we start seeing some training camp lineups, or lineups reported from what's happening in scrimmages and drills at training camp here. We'll have to see if he is indeed slotted in at the four frequently. I guess that kind of does it for media day in terms of the high points. Tons of positivity, and this is the time of year where we all soak this stuff in, and it'd be easy to kind of gloss over it. But I do think it's notable that there's a consistent theme about positivity and inclusion and guys really pulling for each other and being excited to be part of a program that is positive and forward thinking and diverse. All things that didn't necessarily seem to be true, or at least not come through the media, when the Tom Thibodeau led Timberwolves, over the past, three seasons prior to this one. So, definitely a good thing. Obviously we want to see that turn into something more long-term. And I think, if this team only wins 38 games this year after winning 36 last year, 40 games this year, I don't think that that's necessarily an indictment on all the positivity talk, because I think this team, and Rosas would admit to in an honest moment, that he doesn't have quite the level of talent on this roster that he wants, but certainly is working in that direction, and changing the culture doesn't necessarily happen overnight, although it sure seems to have pretty close to that, over the past few months here. It really sounds like things are pretty night and day from where they were 12 months ago. Not that it would have been that hard to improve on the toxic Jimmy Butler situation last fall. So Tuesday was the first day of training camp, again, down in Mankato. We have some training camp reports that Timberwolves.com and Kyle Ratke pass along. Nothing entirely groundbreaking. A couple of interesting notes, I guess. Early on, there's going to be a lot of conditioning, a lot of, concentrating on the defensive concepts. Something that has come through a little bit in the past couple of days in interviews is switching on defense. It was a question that was asked of Jeff Teague during his media availability on Monday. And then Ryan Saunders was asked about it after practice on Tuesday about switching defenses. And Teague, I think it slipped out at some point last year. I can't recall if it was while Tibbs was still the coach, probably not, or when Saunders took over on an interim basis, that Tibbs' defense was one of the last defensive concepts in the league that did not include switching everything, essentially. And that is something that nearly every team in the league is doing. And, clearly positional flexibility, it's one of the reasons why it's so important to have guys who can guard multiple positions. The Wolves have obviously added a lot of guys that can do that, from Covington in last year's trade to Jordan Bell this year, even Noah Vonleh to some extent, longer guys who are athletic. Jake Lehman can guard multiple positions. Jarrett Culver should be able to as well, as he gets acclimated to the NBA game. But to find guys who can switch everything and guard multiple positions, and Teague admitted in his media availability on Monday that was something he didn't agree with in the past defense, was he felt like if it was difficult for the Wolves to score on switching defenses, it would also be difficult for other teams to score on a Wolves defense that switched. And it does sound like the concepts that Saunders is teaching now are going to center on switching nearly everything on defense. And the Wolves, again, have the personnel to do that. Especially with mobile big men like Karl-Anthony Towns, if Rocco is playing at the four, or even if, Vonleh or Jordan Bell is playing at the four, they should be able to switch almost 1 through 5. And something else that Jarrett Culver mentioned in his media availability was that it's clear to him that he's going to be playing some at the point guard role, and is going to be eased into that position. We've been talking about that here on Locked On Wolves for a while. That seems to clearly be something they want him to do. He initiated much of the offense at Texas Tech last year, and in leading them to the national championship game. And so it certainly appears that's something the Wolves are moving towards with Culver, and Culver knows that. But imagine a guy like Culver, who's 6'5" or something like that, playing at the one, and Towns at 7 feet at the five, and those guys can all switch at least, you know, 3 to 4 positions comfortably, regardless of who's playing at the 2, the 3, and the 4. But you have Covington at the 4, let's say, and Okogie and Wiggins, or some combination there on the wing. That's switching 3 to 4 positions each easily, and not something that would have been a key part of Tibbs' defense, but clearly something that's been talked about a lot surrounding the team here of late. Other notable things that you would have seen if you were on Twitter on Tuesday as well, Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and Robert Covington all wore jerseys number 14 with Saunders on the back as a tribute to Flip Saunders. That's the number he wore at the University of Minnesota in college. And it was apparently led by Towns as a gesture to Ryan Saunders. Towns is trying to do more of these leadership things. This is obviously very different than the trip to the Bahamas, but just take on different roles within the organization and with the team to make it clear that he's the leader and he's trying to do things to make people feel comfortable. And I think that's he's embracing that, and that's awesome. So just kind of a cool note. The Texas Tech coaching staff was at the training camp practice supporting Culver. And you may also recall that the Texas Tech, I think his title is director of basketball ops the last couple of years. He is on the Timberwolves staff now in a player development role, essentially an associate assistant coach. There's certainly some connections there as well. Training camp kicked off, underway, one more day in Mankato before they move back to Minneapolis. So we'll definitely keep an eye on any other happenings that go on here in day two in training camp. Last thing I want to talk about today is touching on the roster construction and a couple of points there. One, which we haven't really discussed to this point on here on Lockdown Wolves, is the age of the Wolves roster. The average age, as well as just kind of the breakdown. It's actually an extremely young team, and I don't have numbers on the whole league at this point, but I'm gonna bet that the average age of the Timberwolves players is going to be, one of the youngest handful of teams, for sure youngest five teams in the league. Just looking at the list of guys and their ages, it's pretty incredible. There was only one guy on the roster who's 30 or older, and that's Jeff Teague. And he is almost surely in his last season with the Wolves. And Gorgui Dieng's 29. And there's two guys who are 28, Robert Covington and Shabazz Napier. And then everybody else is 25 and younger, which is kind of insane when you think about it. There's young guys that have a lot more experience in the league, like Karl-Anthony Towns is in his fifth season now, and he is I think he's about to turn 24, if I remember right, in November, maybe the end of October. Andrew Wiggins is in his, this will be his, he's, you know, been in the league a year longer than Kat, and he's 24. Guys who have been in the league for a while, like Noah Vonleh, it feels like he's been in the league for 10 years and he's only 24 years old. Remember, he played only a season at Indiana and I think was 19 when he came into the league. And then the Wolves young guys who have been around. Were on the team last year. Josh Okogie's 21. Jarrett Culver, this year as a rookie, is 20. Both those guys are going to be part of the rotation. So we're not just talking about the guys that are going to be in the G League. We're talking about the players that will be part of the rotation. So the rotation is going to include a 20-year-old in Jarrett Culver, a 21-year-old in Josh Okogie, 23-year-old in Kat. 24-year-olds include, Noah Vonleh, Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Bell, all those guys. And then Jake Lehman at 25 years old, Trevion Graham 25 years old, and then the older guys that I mentioned, Napier, Covington, Gorgui, and Jeff Teague are all 28 and older. But that's going to be one of the youngest teams in the league, and that means a couple things. One, clearly the Wolves are looking for guys, and we've talked about this in the past here on this podcast, to fit Towns' window and to create a culture that that can grow together. It's a little interesting because some of these guys that we just mentioned only have a year left on their deals. In fact, many of them do. But it's still all about growing that culture together. And some of them will undoubtedly come back. And you want to put out there that the Timberwolves have a different culture. As I mentioned, what Jordan Bell's agent had said, you want it to be clear that things are different around this team. So that's one thing. The other thing is the team probably, that's going to contribute to what the ceiling of this team can be this season. It's hard for me to see, unless Towns makes a Giannis-size leap this year, which isn't impossible, certainly, and especially with the way that they're going to feature him more. It'd be a surprise to see this team win more than, I would say anything above 42, 43 games would be a genuine surprise. Somewhere in the 40 to 43 range would be a pleasant surprise. I think above that would be genuinely surprising. So all that to say, this is a 500 team most likely. And Vegas thinks they're a 35.5 win team, which we've talked about in the past, and that's kind of crazy to me still. But they're going to be somewhere in that range. And I think there's a lid on what this team can do just simply because of how young they are. I mean, there isn't a whole lot of history of, even LeBron didn't make the playoffs as a rookie. I mean, there isn't a whole lot of history of first and second year guys that are key parts of a rotation playing massive roles for playoff teams. Now, the team's two best players are Towns and Robert Covington, who's 28. And there is a little bit of, Jeff Teague, if he stays healthy this year. So I'm not saying this team can't be a playoff team. It just, they're not a championship contender, and they're not going to probably sniff that with that many young guys in the rotation. But that said, Jarrett Culver in a year or two could very well be the second or third best player in this team and, be a borderline all-star himself, and then that whole thing is flipped. So I think what it tells me is that this year there's a cap on what they can do just based on their age, and that's just reality. But it'll be fun to see, who's able to step up and how they all grow together this season. The other thing we've talked about a little bit on this podcast before, and that's just related to the overall, I guess, the size of the roster. So basically, currently under contract, there's one more guy than they're going to have spots for, not including the two-way players. There's also the two guys that are on non-guaranteed deals, essentially training camp deals. That's Jordan Murphy, the former Golden Gopher, and Lindell Wigginton. Those two guys I'm taking out, the two-way players in Jordan McLaughlin and Keelan Martin. I'm not including either, as they are already on two-way deals. So there's one too many guys on that have some form of guaranteed money. The guys at the bottom of the roster are likely going to be, or I guess they are, the guys at the bottom of the roster are Tyrone Wallace, who is picked up on waivers from the Clippers, and he's more of a combo guard type player and would be the third guard, I think, if he made the team. Otherwise, Jordan McLaughlin on a two-way contract is the third point guard. So he, to me, is the most likely player to be waived. And then there's the rookies who the Wolves like, Jalen Noel, who's a second-round pick, and Naz Reid, who they clearly like because they gave him a guaranteed contract after already having him on originally a two-way deal. So it'd be a surprise to see him leave. Those are kind of the other guys at the end of the roster, though. Travion Graham, I mean, it's tough to see where he cracks through in the wing rotation, but he's likely too valuable of a player, or at least more valuable of a player than Tyrone Wallace, but he would probably be the next most likely guy to go. Or there's a possibility of a trade. I mean, somebody like Kata Bates-Diop probably isn't going to crack the wing rotation this year, but he was 2 years removed from Big Ten Player of the Year and had some promising moments in the G League last year and some flashes at the NBA level. So they're not just going to cut Kata Bates-Diop. So I think it really comes down to Tyrone Wallace, Travion Graham, and then the two rookies that are on lesser deals, and that being Naz Reid and Jalen Noel. If I had to guess, I think Wallace is the player that's gone, or that there's a trade. I don't think they're going to cut any of the rest of those guys, but that's kind of the one thing to keep an eye on. I guess the only real true roster battle, although we obviously don't know the rotation or anything like that yet, but to watch the end of the roster and see what the Wolves are able to do. Clearly there's more talent 1 through 16 right now than there was at any point in the last couple of years. So that'll be something fun to watch, something to keep an eye on here over the next couple of weeks. That's all we have today. Thanks once again for listening to Locked On Wolves Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And don't forget, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. We will have some more training camp notes as the week goes on. We'll pass along any additional news that comes out of Mankato / the Twin Cities. And then pretty soon here, we'll start looking ahead to the Phoenix Suns, Ricky Rubio, Devin Booker, and all those guys next week as well. So once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.